All right, good morning, everybody. If you would, just focus on 1 Corinthians 12:7 for a moment, please, that our lovely assistant, John Barry, read for us. This is the main point. What is that noise? All right. Sound guys, help me out here. This is the main point of the passage today, 1 Corinthians 12:7. I want to just lay it out here initially, then in the middle, and then at the end, all right? So we can walk away with at least one point. Okay, I understand what the main point of 1 Corinthians 12:1 through 11 is. So why don't we just read it out loud as a church family, 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All right, each Christian, each one of you, is given a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit himself to make known the Holy Spirit and do good to the local church. So if you just look at the person next to you, if you have a need, God has equipped that person to help you in some way. And if they have a need, God has equipped you in some way to help them. All right, so this is one way that God displays himself in Temecula Hills, all right, through the gifting of his church people to do good to one another. It could be by serving, it could be by a word of encouragement or showing some mercy or giving financially or teaching, different ways like that. So I've entitled this message, You Are Gifted to Do Good. And that's true. So that's the main point of the sermon. So you know when our kids get out of Sunday school, what's the first thing a parent always asks? Well, what did you learn? Now when we get out of church, your kids can say, so what did you learn, Mom? What did you learn, Dad? And you can say, I learned today that I am gifted. Each Christian is gifted with a spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit to show the Holy Spirit and to do good to the church family. All right, so 1 Corinthians 12:7. Very important here on the teaching of the spiritual gifts as it relates to the church body. Everybody helps out for the church body. Let me give you a good illustration here. Aesop's fable, a little parable about the belly, the stomach, the belly. One day the members of the belly, of the body, wanted to rebel against the belly. And they said, Belly, we do all the work around here, all right? The eyes see the food, the hands get the food, the mouth and teeth chew up the food, all right? All you do, belly, is just rest while we're doing all this work, all right? And you are enjoying the fruit of our labor. So all the members of the body voted. Right? We, for the next 3 days, refused to help the belly, all right? So the hands would not bring food to the mouth refused to open, the teeth refused to do their job, and the whole body, guess what happened, quickly became debilitated. And the hands and feet and the mouth and the eyes found out this belly, while it's a quiet worker, it's an unseen worker, was necessary for the common good of the entire body. Well, that's 1 Corinthians 12 here. We are all Christ's body, the church. We need one another. All right, so in the church in Corinth, however, there was a group of people in the church who said, we have special gifts. We're above everybody else. So we have the fascinating gifts of tongues and prophecy. But they got to thinking they were better than the others because of their spectacular gifts. No one else was on their level. They were the sensational ones. They commandeered the church service. And Paul's going to correct them. He's going to say, if you want to exalt somebody, don't exalt you and your gift. Exalt Jesus and love one another. Now note on 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, they're about the spiritual gifts in general. But very specifically, they're about one gift, the gift of tongues. Chapter 12 begins, 12:2. You know that when you were pagans, somehow you were influenced and led astray by mute, speechless idols. Next verse, therefore I want you to know no one speaking by the Spirit. Chapter 13, the next chapter begins, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels. Chapter 14 begins, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. And chapter 14 ends, Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. Do not forbid the speaking in tongues. Do you see the emphasis there, even though it's about spiritual gifts in general? It's on the tongue. Now, I have to say, I had the weirdest experience yesterday morning. I woke up, and my pillow was covered with blood. I had bitten my tongue, all right? Freaky, weird thing. And because I had a heart attack last November, and I'm on these blood thinners, it wouldn't clot. I didn't know it. So I slept up. So I wake up happily. I was like, look at all this blood. I look in the mirror. My entire face is covered in blood. My teeth covered in blood. And blood is literally gushing out of my mouth through my tongue. I could see it just like a river of blood. It unnerved me, let's say. All right? I was unnerved. All right? So I told Carol, I couldn't stop this bleeding. So I was like, I got to go to ER. I don't know if I need stitches or whatnot. So yesterday morning, 6 a.m., there I was. Poor Dr. Combs. He gets these ER calls every few months. Your patient, Craig Poston, is back in the ER. All right? You know, it's like I've got these weird things going on. So I have no idea why that happened, but we're preaching on the gift of tongues, and I bite my tongue. Come on, there's got to be something there. If anybody has some kind of revelation or something, let me know. I don't know. So if God wanted to humble me before I came up here, he did a great job. So if I feel like my tongue's like this big. So if I feel, if it sounds weird how I'm speaking, especially towards the end of the message, that's why. All right, so 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, meant to be a unit taught together. They're not a complete listing of these spiritual gifts, but it's a section in 1 Corinthians that we call the Q&A section. All right, the Corinthians had questions. How do we do this, Paul? How do we do that? How about the gift of tongues and prophecy? How are they to operate in a church service? They're so disruptive, some of the elders were writing to Paul, that the elders forbid it. We forbid in the Corinthian church the use of tongues anymore. That's why Paul at the end of 14 says, don't forbid the speaking of tongues. And so the elders write, did we do the right thing, Paul? Can you help us out here? We don't know how to navigate this one. So Paul's answering those kind of questions now about spiritual gifts. So our first point, spiritual gifts need to be explained. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. The NIV says ignorant. Literally in Greek, it's not knowledgeable. I don't want you to be not knowledgeable. A spiritual gift is an innate ability given to every Christian at conversion to help others spiritually. And there's a variety of these kind of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts differ from natural abilities, right? Though they can be similar. I can have a spiritual gift of teaching, and I could be a high school teacher. But they're different, all right? Natural abilities are God-given abilities in God's common grace to all people. They go to Christians and non-Christians, all right? But spiritual gifts are given uniquely by the Holy Spirit to Christians only. And they are expressions of the Holy Spirit. And what their purpose is to strengthen other people's faith and to help do good to the church body primarily. So spiritual gifts are used when the Holy Spirit flows through you to help another person and strengthen that person spiritually. All right? So, or as Paul says, spiritual gifts are for the common good of the church family. So notice in verse 1 here again, just because you are a Christian and you have a spiritual gift does not mean you know anything about it. All right? You're uninformed. So the Apostle Paul says in verse 1, you Corinthians are Christians, but you don't know about these gifts. I'm going to inform you. You need to be informed. So likewise to us, we need to be informed about this. So God, through the Apostle Paul, is going to inform us. Point two here, verse two. The Trinity, the entire Trinity, Godhead, works in you in expressing your spiritual gift. You know that when you were pagans, you were unbelievers, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led, meaning in all the different ways you followed these idols, you were led wrongly, all right, as you worshiped them. So the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, before you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were experts at being led astray by deities that didn't speak, they didn't say anything. Idols have no good news, right? But now, as a Christian, you have one true God. And you know what? That God speaks. He has good news. He displays himself to the world through the Christian. We had a good example of this in our family. I know many of you watched the Rio Olympics. Well, we were watching the Rio Olympics as a family, and the men's synchronized divers came up, and some of our girls went wild. Look how cute they are! Oh, those guys. Okay, who cares about the divers? Are they good divers or bad divers? Doesn't matter. These are cute divers, all right. Well, the U.S. synchronized men's divers, they win. And then they're being interviewed worldwide, and they say, and we are happy, so excited we won, and we want to give honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it stunned me and all of us. We were like, wait, that was just at the Rio Olympics. We don't hear those kind of things. It was amazing. Did a little research. David Bodaya just written a book that just came out, Greater Than Gold, Christian, Born Again Christian. So I picked up his book, immediately started reading it. You know, at age 19, he was an unbeliever, age 19, won every college diving event across the nation week after week. He said, I would just win these trophies and certificates. I had so many, I was just throwing them in a closet. All right. Went to the Beijing Olympics, focusing on being the world's best, did miserably. Crashed his faith. He came home, was suicidal. Said, I want to kill myself. I have nothing to live for because I've lived for diving and I've lived for world success. And somebody, another Christian on the team, says, you should go talk to the coach. Well, his coach leads him to faith in Christ. Amen. Let me just say, teachers and coaches, what an influence you have. Who is that teen going to come to so often? All right, they're going to come to you. So you have a great impact. So be encouraged when somebody comes in crisis, man, lead them to Christ. So David Bodaya wants to leave. He says, I now only want to focus on Christ. I don't care about diving anymore. And the coach says, wait. God has given you unique giftings and abilities and a platform across the world. You're one of the best divers in the world. Use that platform that God's given you and the giftings to then proclaim Jesus Christ, glorify Jesus Christ. That's exactly what this man has done. It's amazing. So very, very encouraging. So he found out our idols, like worldly success or whatever it is, fail us. They're mute. They have no good news to us, for us. But God speaks, and that's verse 3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So the context of Corinthian Hills Christian Fellowship, the believers are young believers. It's a young church, all right? And they come out. They've come out of a context of worshiping these deities and these false gods and these demons and these what and frenzied chanting and worship. They had chaotic rituals, all right, and demonic situations and ceremonies. They bring that chaotic order into the church service, apparently. And they say, well, that's the way we used to worship our deity. I guess this is the way a church operates. So Paul is correcting them in their wrong, disorderly practice in the Corinthian church. So the Corinthians write to Paul, the Apostle Paul, if there are many people speaking, we got all these people speaking, just like we did when we worshiped Zeus and whatnot. We got all these people speaking in our church service. How do you discern who's speaking truth and who's not? Because we got it's very disorderly, it's very chaotic. Paul says the one claims Jesus is Lord is speaking by the Holy Spirit. That's your simple test. All right. So the Corinthians had become so confused they had lost the priority of content. Well, what are they talking about? And they had confused that in their elevation or evaluation with the spectacular gifts. All right, the best oratory, the showmanship, and they stopped evaluating what's being taught. All right, so we're to be Bereans here. We're to be evaluating what is being taught and holding it up to Scripture. All right. So Paul reorients them. Is the person speaking in church speaking from a foundation of truth that Jesus is Lord? So start there. If you're evaluating your gift or other people's gift, are they glorifying Jesus? All right. Number one basic rule. Jesus is Lord was one of the earliest church's confessions. You know, we say confessions of faith that we unify us as a body. Jesus is God himself. That was the simplest, earliest church confession. Let me ask you, is that your confession of faith? Can you say, do you say, Jesus is God himself and he's my Lord? That's what we're looking for. That's what Paul's talking about. That's the confession of the true child of God. So Paul does not want them to be misled. The focus of spiritual gifts is not you guys and your spectacular gifts. The focus is on Jesus. Gifts are given to glorify, not to glorify the person with the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are given to glorify Jesus, very simply. So the rule of thumb, is Jesus B being honored as I exercise my spiritual gift? If he is, you're right on track there. Spiritual gifts are not about you. Spiritual gifts are about God. And not just God in general. It's the entire Trinity is involved in the process of the use of your giftings. All right, verse 4. There are a variety of gifts, many different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. So from these gifts, there are many ministries that go out from Jesus. And there are a variety of services or ministries, but the same Lord Jesus. So you got the Holy Spirit, and now you got Jesus involved here. And from those many ministries, using the many spiritual gifts, there are many results or activities or effectiveness of those ministries. Verse 6, and there are a variety of activities, but the same God, the Father, who empowers them all and everyone. So God the Father, he bears fruit out of your ministry, given by, overseen by Jesus, as you use your spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit. All right, so the same person exercising his or her spiritual gift at different times is going to see different results from that use of ministry. Why? Because God is overseeing. He's sovereign over the effectiveness and the effective use of your spiritual gifts. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that. You could be, say, leading a Bible study, either for children or a home group or whatever. And, man, it's just a home run. You teach, and it's a home run. Next week, you teach the same thing to the same group, and it's just a miserable flop, all right? You think, what in the world happened here? Well, God is sovereign over the use of and the effectiveness, the bearing of fruit of your gift. There it is. For his good purposes, he has different effectiveness for his good purpose. So, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father, the entire Trinity are engaged in the giving of spiritual gifts, in the use of spiritual gifts, in the effective use of your spiritual gifts. So the Spirit gives you a gift. Jesus uses it to minister to the body. God the Father bears fruit from it. That's why we say, to God be the glory. It's about God. It's not about us. Charles Spurgeon reminds us, God's thoughts of you are many. Let not yours be few in return. So just pause for a second. Just in silent prayer, just say, God, thank you for gifting me. Thank you, Trinity, for equipping me and overseeing all that you're doing through me for the benefit of the church. So you may say, how do I know if I'm using my spiritual gift? How do I know if I'm using it? Well, as you serve others or teach others, is Jesus glorified? And are others blessed and good done? Simple criteria. If yes, then you're operating in your spiritual gifting. When you become a Christian, the entire Trinity is paying attention to you and equipping you. Because you are Jesus' hands, you are Jesus' feet, you are the hands to give hugs, the mouth to give encouragement, the hands to give financially. You are that person doing that on behalf of God. So the spiritual gifts are not for our individual enjoyment, but for corporate employment. So the foundation, that's our summary. The foundation of the gifts is based in the Trinity itself. Now, who gets the gifts? And what are the purposes of the gifts? Point 3, spiritual gifts are to help others. Verse 7, our key verse here. To each, that means to each one, to each Christian, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Spiritual gifts are so often they used to divide Christians. They divide churches and denominations. They're not to do that. They are given to unite us as a body, to help us and to bless us as a body. Verse 7, to each Christian, each one of you gets a spiritual gift by God's grace. So don't miss that. If you are a Christian born again by God's Spirit, if you confess Jesus is Lord, then you have an expression or a manifestation or a showing of the Holy Spirit in your life through a spiritual gift. You're gifted to do good. Therefore, it puts all of us on an even playing field. Whatever your gift is, teaching or service or mercy or giving, whatever it is, we're all on a level playing field because it's given by the Holy Spirit according to his desire. There's no greater Christian or lesser Christian, all right? Each is gifted. So the person who says, man, I would really love to see God. I'd love to see the Holy Spirit, all right? Here's when we use our gifts, when you use your gift, you are manifesting, you are showing the Holy Spirit, all right, and when good is being done. So the Holy Spirit is made visible as you use your gifts. That is the Holy Spirit being shown. So instead, spiritual gifts are to make us love, not to be puffed up, but to love one another. Love the Holy Spirit, appreciate the Holy Spirit, magnify the Holy Spirit. That's what spiritual gifts are to do. So the Holy Spirit manifests himself in a person's life through the gift as it's used to bless others. Now, how do you know what your spiritual gift is? The Spirit works through you to do good to the church, and Jesus is glorified. If that's happening, you're using your spiritual giftings. Now, Paul is going to give a list. He's going to give a list of a few spiritual gifts. This is not exhaustive. It's not an exhaustive or a comprehensive list in verse 8 and following. In fact, it's less than half of the spiritual gifts listed in the New Testament. Let me give you two. I'm going to read two scriptures. 1 Peter 4:10-11. Peter lists some gifts and he breaks them into two parts, speaking gifts and serving gifts. And then Romans. Let me read 1 Peter 4:10-11. As each has received a spiritual gift. Okay, so each person gets a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, whether it's encouragement or teaching or whatever those speaking gifts are, do it as speaking the oracles of God. If you serve, do it through the strength that God gives you in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Purpose of the gifts? Glorify Jesus. Romans 12:6-8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. If you're prophesying, do it in proportion to the faith given you. If you're serving, do it as you're serving. If you're teaching, use your gift as you're teaching, as you're exhorting and exhortation. The one who contributes, if you're a giver, give generously. If you're leading, do it with zeal. If you're doing acts of mercy, do it with cheerfulness, is what Romans says to us. So there doesn't seem to be a comprehensive listing. If you just went through the New Testament and listed all of the spiritual gifts, it doesn't seem to be comprehensive. One of the reasons is probably, well, God is too infinite, all right, and manifest, all right, to record all of those. It's too much, but it gives us a great basis. Point four, our last point here, spiritual gifts are varied, but they're used to unify us. Okay, they're varied, but they're used to unify. Verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Logos in Greek, it's logos, sophia. Logos, word, sophia, wisdom. The word of wisdom seems to be the ability to make skillful and practical application of truth to life situations. So as life comes about, and somebody puts a very skillful and practical application to it, that seems to be the word of sophia, wisdom. Probably the best example in the New Testament is when King Solomon's there, and these two women bring one baby, and they say, whose baby is it? And they both claim it's their baby, because one baby had died. And he comes up, for that practical life situation, he comes up with a magnificent application of wisdom and truth to discern that. Next one, to another, an utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Again, logos, gnosis, knowledge. Word of knowledge, literally in Greek. The ability to take information given uniquely by the Holy Spirit and use it to a specific situation. I think of Jesus when he's talking to the Samaritan woman. And out of the blue there after that conversation, you, all right, have five husbands. And now the man that you're with is not even your husband. I mean, how would she have responded to that? Wow. He knows everything about me. All right, it's that specific revelation kind of thing. Or Peter with Ananias and Sapphira having specific knowledge of how they've lied to the Holy Spirit, that kind of thing. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. That's the ability to trust God with an unusual measure of trust. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Now, the word gifts is plural, and the word healings is plural. Gifts of healings. Many gifts of many healings, suggesting many ways that God can use you to help people, heal people in their afflictions. There are many afflictions. My only experience with the gift of healing was in Haiti a number of years ago. We're going, a buddy of mine and I, had teams split out in this village, and we were just going hut to hut, person to person, just sharing the gospel. All right, knock on the door. I'm Craig. I'm from California. Just talk about God. Would you like to? They'd invite us into their hut. Well, so we're going around there and sharing the gospel. And we approach this one tin hut. And this, all we hear is screaming. So we peek in. And there's a 16-year-old girl lying flat out on a mat, on the dirt floor with this little bitty bamboo mat on there. She's absolutely rigid, every part of her. And she's screaming in agony. So we ask the parents, what in the world happened to your daughter? And they say, well, one of her friends didn't like her, so they paid a voodoo priest to curse her. So 4 days ago, this voodoo priest came to her, pronounced a curse on our daughter, and blew this powder into her face. And she immediately went rigid and was in this pain. That's 4 days this poor girl had been lying like that in her hut. Well, we didn't know what to do. And my friend says, man, would it be okay if we just prayed for her and just asked God to have mercy on her? So my friend just prays. God, we feel terrible for this girl. All right, Lord, would you just manifest yourself? Jesus, would you be glorified? Would you just release this girl from her pain? As soon as he finishes praying, she stops screaming and she stands up. All right, she's released from this. It was amazing. Her parents are jumping up and down. All right, it was a great celebration. All right, and the girl says, what happened to me? All right, she was kind of dazed and in a fog. So we tell her, you know, Jesus glorified you. We share the gospel with her. She and her parents pray to receive Christ, place their faith in Christ. All right, hallelujah. Now, was that the gift of healing, or was that a simple prayer and God answering prayer? I have no idea. All right, ask somebody else. Ask one of the elders. They'll know. All right. But Jesus was glorified in that. All right, that's all I know. Verse 10. To another, there's the workings of miracles. All right, that seems to be the ability, again, given uniquely by the Holy Spirit, in a situation to do supernatural acts that transcend the natural world, transcends natural law. Then the next one, to another, prophecy, the ability to declare message of God to his people and probably foretell the future there. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. That's the ability to quickly perceive what's from Satan, what's from God. All right, what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, what in the event that's happening, whatever it is, I can tell just by the Holy Spirit, I can tell it's from Satan or it's from God. All right, this only has happened to me one time. Also, a number of years ago, had some friends who were attending a New Age church, and they say, we don't know if this is a good church or a bad church. It seems all right to us. Would you come to church with us, Craig, and just help us evaluate? I said, okay, I'll come. Well, the music was okay. It was kind of, you know, it was very professional, kind of bland. Nothing distinguishing there. And then the senior pastor of the church, who was a female, Pastor Susan, steps up into the pulpit, and I don't know this person from anywhere, as soon as she says her first word of her sermon, this voice from inside of me starts projecting. Now, I didn't say it out loud, but I was like, she's a witch, she's a witch, she's a witch, she's a witch. I mean, for like 20 minutes that this lady's speaking, I'm praying against her. She's a witch, she's a witch, she's a witch. I'm like, what is happening to me? All right. That was not me discerning that this woman was a witch. That apparently was that ability to distinguish between spirits. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. But God, at that point in time, just wanted me to pray against that woman and speak against her, all the lies that she was speaking. All right. So that's the distinguishing between gifts. To another, speaking in various kinds of tongues. The Spirit-led ability to speak in a language that's unknown to the speaker. All right, and then the interpretation. When you do that, you need an interpreter who's interpreting what you're saying there. Verse 11, as we come in for a landing here. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills, as God the Holy Spirit wills. So all gifts are given by God. The Holy Spirit is to be thanked because he's the one giving each Christian a specific gift as the Holy Spirit sovereignly determines the body needs. What do we need here in Temecula Hills? All right, what kind of needs to do good? Well, God the Holy Spirit is going to give different people those kind of giftings so that the body can be encouraged, used as a whole for a particular season or a particular time. All right, God has split up the body of Christ with spiritual gifts. We're all apportioned differently, and we're to work in unity. We need each other so that with these specific gifts, our whole body is whole. That makes sense. There's diversity and unity, not uniformity. We don't want uniformity. We want diversity and unity. All right. We don't all want to have the same spiritual gift. That doesn't help the body. We're all thumbs. All right. Or tongues, I could say. All right. There are no little people and big people in the church. All Christians are on the same level because it's the Holy Spirit who gives the gifts as he chooses. And Jesus gives the ministries and God bears the fruit of that as he determines. Spiritual gifts are not higher or lower. There's not like a five-story building. Some have these high spiritual gifts. Some have these low ones. No. It's like on a piece of pie. Everybody's on equal footing. That's the best way to think about it. All right. Let me give you a close with this illustration. There was a fellow, he's a very famous organist a long time ago, and he would just travel around the world playing these famous organs. Well, he went to Europe in this little town that had a very famous organ. This was before electricity, so the way you built pressure in a pipe organ was to have a little boy, who was the bellow boy, and he would sit below the organist's feet and pump the bellows. And that would create pressure, and the pressure would build, and as soon as you touched the keys, the pressure was released, a little flap was open, and harder or softer that you press the keys, different sounds were created. So, the world-famous organist sits down at the organ. He's got this huge crowd coming to listen to him. Cracks his knuckles. He's about ready. And the little bellows boy looks up. He says, "Are we ready?" And the world-famous organist looks down at the boy and says, "We? No, it's me. I'm the world-famous organist. I go all over the world to play these different organs. You're nothing, little boy." And he kicked at the little boy. Cracks his fingers, takes a breath, gets ready to play. Dump. Nothing. No sound. Looks around, cracks his fingers, takes another breath. The organist presses the keys again. Nothing. There's no sound. Why? Well, the little bellows boy did not pump the bellows. With no pressure, there's no compression. With no compression, there's no sound. The little boy asks again, "Are we ready?" You may feel like a little bellows boy here at church. I got this little bitty. I don't stand up on the pulpit. I don't get to speak on a Sunday with everybody looking at me. No, I got this little bitty gift. In fact, I use it before anybody even gets here. I set up chairs and do those things. Hey, you may be a little bellows boy. We need your spiritual gift in work. You are very significant to the body of Christ. So find out what your spiritual gift is. Use it to do good to the church body and glorify Jesus. Amen? All right, let me pray. Our worship team comes up. Lord, thank you for a very